Will you please turn to Hebrews chapter 2? We're at that place where we're dealing with what man lost and what God's going to do about it, okay? We haven't gotten to the place where Jesus steps in yet. We've talked about that, but starting at verse 9, it's all about Christ and how he's going to restore this. Now remember, and I'm going to bring the peppers up to date because they haven't been part of the study. The word used about the world is the word for the inhabited earth, not the cosmos. That's a system that, frankly, Satan completely dominates and controls according to the word of God, right, for right now. We've looked at Genesis. We've looked at Psalm 8. And we're now looking at what all this involves as far as what we are right now and why we desperately need the work of Jesus Christ that is described in verse 9, because of the fact that we're all under the dominion of sin, and you can be delivered from that through trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Sin does not have to have its grip on you. Understand that you have to apply the truth of 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The he that is in the world, he's definitely dominating, he's definitely a problem, and him and his minions are going to remain a problem till Jesus steps in and says, now I'm taking over. Then you and I, and if you want something to build hope on, you know, we have the blessed hope of the rapture that's described in Titus chapter 2, the matter of looking for him to come, our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take us home to heaven. But that's for a 7-year period. And after the 7 years, we come back with him to this inhabited earth. And this is what is being reiterated before us. If you want an argument for premillennialism, here it is, along with many, many other passages. But this passage alone, you know, frankly, rules out any concept of that fact that there's no kingdom. Because this is what this is all about. The kingdom. And in that kingdom, you're going to wear a crown because we're going to be kings. And you say, wait a minute, where are you getting that from? Well, what is part of our rewards if we've been faithful to trusting in Christ as far as coming at any moment, that we're looking forward to his coming? It's part of our mindset. We live in light of that. What's offered to us? The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now there's others. There's the crown of the servant and all that. But understand, we're not talking about a metal crown like the King of England or the Queen of England wears. We're talking about a turban-like thing that has different insignias on it. We get a diadem, and that means a patch, you know, that signifies that we were faithful in this. This signifies we were faithful in that. But we're going to come to the place where Adam was supposed to be able to control the world. And that includes all animal life as well. He named them, and frankly, they would be tame. And what does Isaiah predict? There'll be no predators in the kingdom that's to come. So it's going to go back to what God originally intended it to be. So God gave man honor. He lost it because of sin. Now, verse 8a explains it. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, that's why a lot of people think that this is talking about Christ. But don't take verse 8 out of its context. He's still talking to man. So when he says he put all things under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but, okay, now we see not yet all things put under his feet. Now, it's still talking about the passage of Psalm 8. What's man that thou art mindful of him? Okay, so this, the matter of this subjection, all things under him. A king's throne was normally elevated. Like me, right now, in relationship to where you're at, you know, and compared to where I'm at in this room, okay? The king had, and the subjects bowed before him and even sometimes kissed his feet. Now, you know, I hope you do anyway, what's going on, you know, that goes on every day in Rome. There is a statue of Peter, and it's made of bronze. And he's 1 foot is out like this. And as the worshipers come by, now I'm not condoning this. I'm not, you know, preaching this. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying this is what they do. They kiss that foot. They've kissed 3 feet off of that statue that they've had to replace the foot, that foot, 4 times because the other 3 have been kissed off. So sometimes that's what they would do with kings. So his subjects were referred to as under his feet. I'm not taking away anything from Jesus Christ. Don't forget that he's the King of Kings. But what this passage is trying to help us to understand, we had it, we lost it, and we're going to get it back again. It's like this little boy that built a model boat that he was so proud of. And he talked his daddy into taking him down to the creek and putting his boat in the creek. And he would let it go and then retrieve it. And they'd go on down. And it got caught in the rapids. And he lost his boat. Him and his daddy were walking past the hock shop. Now, you know what we're talking about, but if you lived a while, you knew that 3rd and Chestnut, there was a place called the Hock Shop, right? So you could go and buy back or buy whatever people have hocked and it's been there a while, you could buy back. But anyway, they walk past, and guess what's in the window? His boat. He said, "Daddy, Daddy, let's go in and get my boat." He said, "Son, that's not your boat right now. The owner of the store owns that boat. And we'll have to buy it back if we want it." And he said, "Daddy, I have money in my piggy bank. Can we break my piggy bank and see if we can get enough money to go buy that boat?" And so that's what they did. And he went in and he was able to buy back his boat. And he came out so proud and he said to Daddy, "Daddy, I made it, I lost it, and I bought it back." Now that's what Christ did for the earth. But the earth is not enjoying that right now. We're not enjoying that kind of control over the earth. He has to be here in order for that to take place. So you and I, hopefully all of us in this room, understand that there had to be a price paid in order to buy us back into the family of God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, mankind was given the right to rule the earth, all of God's creation. Genesis 1:26 is reiterated here. All things are going to be eventually put under his feet. So that is the revelation of man's destiny. Understand that. You and I are going to experience it. It's been a long time, long time, long time. And you wonder, is it ever going to come? I can remember growing up and thinking, am I ever going to get 16? So I can get in a car and drive it. That was, oh man. But it seemed like it was taking forever to get to 16. But after I got to 16, it seems like everything buzzed right on by since that time. But till that time comes, I thought it would never get here. But eventually I did get there. By the grace of God, I did get there. And by the grace of God, we're going to get here. And what this is talking about as well. So verse 8b, his destiny is restricted by what? Sin. So look at this. But now we see not yet. Notice that. Underline that. Now, listen, if you believe it, that this is all talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, I love you, and I hope you still love me. I just don't believe it is talking about. I think it's talking about us in our relationship and why we need the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what we're going to be in verse 9 through the rest of the chapter. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us. So we don't see mankind ruling over the earth yet. So there was a drastic disruption because of their disobedience. We inherit it, not like the angels. And remember, this is still the argument. Christ is better than the angels. The angels fell and never done. The angels had said, "Satan, we'll do it your way." Lucifer was his name at that time. Light bearer. "We'll go with you." They didn't get an opportunity to get back. But they didn't all come under Satan's sin when he sinned originally. And I think that sin was at the throne of God, because that was his ministry as the anointed cherub. We have, and I'm not getting into angiology now. We're not going to do a study on angiology. But they never got it back. But they weren't all affected by what Satan did. Individually, they had a choice. But you and I didn't. We were all affected by what Adam did. When Adam disobeyed and the drastic things that took place came over us as well. And that's why we need a Redeemer. That's why we needed somebody to step in and pay the penalty of sin. But we could be bought back. The angels didn't have that opportunity. And that's why Peter, we looked at, Ephesians. We see God's university for angels. They're looking at God's grace and God's plan by looking at you and the changes that have taken place since you put your trust in Jesus Christ. See, they didn't have that to see. They didn't know about the grace of God. You and I are showing angels the redemptive plan of God. And they're standing in awe. How can that be? These disobeyed, and you're bringing them back. Because the sovereign God says, I can do whatever I decide to do. You were here in my presence, and you said no, a third of you. You walked on. And they're a nuisance, and they're a problem. They're a problem down here. They're a problem up there. But understand something that about this. The drastic disruption because of disobedience. God says, okay, this is what you're going to experience. Eve, you're going to experience pain in birthing children. Extreme pain. Now, you ladies that have children, unless you were put out, and they very rarely do that, you know what? I don't know what I'm talking about. Because, listen, as much as they're trying to mess around with the stupidity that they're coming up with in the United States, that a man can have menstrual, periods and, frankly, can have a baby. How wacko can anybody get? And these are they're running the show. That's what's the worst part about it. These tiny little group of people. What are we celebrating this month? It's Pride Month. Less than 1% are involved in this. And we're making it like, wow, they're the majority. But you see, that's what sin does. See, sin's not stagnant. It gets worse and worse and worse. And that's why, even as redeemed people, we have to deal with it. We have to agree with God. And we have to be obedient to the Spirit of God who's dwelling in us in order to have that. I have a funny story about this birthing aspect. Dear Janet Laird, now her husband Donnie's home with the Lord. So we're talking about quite a little while back. But I had the privilege of leading both of these people to the Lord. But anyway, they were having their first child. And Donnie was in the room with her. Now, when we had children, I don't know whether it was because we had an old-fashioned doctor that Linda picked, because that doctor delivered Linda. But anyway, that's the one she wanted. So I was never invited into the room. I walked the hallway back and forth, waiting to hear what news, is the baby okay? Is the baby a boy? Is the baby a girl? All that's going through your mind. How's my wife doing? I hope everything's okay, because it's not, not automatic, is it, folks? It's not automatic. We know that. Sometimes it turns out disastrous. But anyway, Donnie and her had gone through all the lessons and how to handle the situation. And she was having all kind of problems. And Donnie said, "Now remember, honey, breathe like they told you." And she had a washcloth in her hand, and she threw it at him and said, "Oh, shut up." Because she was in the pain that you ladies have to go through. You see, some teach that the penalty of sin was that you would have babies. That's ridiculous. That's not the penalty. The penalty is you will have babies in pain now because of sin. It was never intended to be like that. Then Adam, what are you going to do because of the destruction? You're going to work with the sweat of your brow because you're going to have to deal with weeds. You're going to have to deal with thorns. I gave you all of this, the Garden of Eden. I gave you all this without the thorns and without the weeds. And you forfeited it all by disobeying me. And then also the worst of all, on the day you eat, what did God say? You will die. Did he die on the day he ate? That day, by the way, is the the word for the 7 days of a week. So did he actually die? I argued with a Jehovah's Witness. I said, he died on that day. No, that day means down the road when he died physically. No, I said, no. That's not what the word's saying. On the day you eat, you will die. What happened? He died spiritually. At that moment, he was separated from God. Now, physical death came later, and that wasn't a part of the original program. Understand that. And that's the wonderful truth that we're taught about what's going to happen with you and I. You know, our body is not going to be corrupt anymore. It's going to take on incorruption. It's going to take on immortality. We won't get decay. We won't get sick. We won't die in the new body that we're going to inherit someday when the redemption is complete. Now, so death also came, spiritual death and physical death. So the weeds and the thorns and the ground were affected. Notice that. So Romans 8 says, the earth is groaning for what? What's it longing for? What's it saying? Oh, that it could be. Oh, that it could be. Oh, that it could be now. What has to happen for the curse that's on the earth to be removed? We have to be redeemed. Now, we're redeemed. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you're not redeemed right now. But there's an aspect of redemption. I have been redeemed, and I will be completely redeemed when I get my brand new body. Now, when I say brand new, it's still the body I'm in right now. 1 Corinthians 15. What you put in the ground is what comes out of the ground. Comes out glorified. Goes in decay. Comes out glorified. If you don't believe me, study 1 Corinthians 15. You'll have to come away with that truth because that's what it teaches. And so we are going to come out, when I say brand new, in other words, it'll be so reconstructed that even though I think we'll look something like we looked before, I don't think the redeemed body is like the Model A Ford. You can have it in any color as long as it's black. Remember that was Henry Ford's saying. And everyone was exactly alike. I don't think the redeemed body that's coming out of those that have passed and those that will be alive when Jesus Christ comes and get transformed, you know, in an instant. But we're all going to get a body that's fashioned like whose body? Huh? Jesus. Say it louder. Jesus Christ's body. Where am I getting that from? Philippians chapter 3. So I'm not making this stuff up. I'm pulling it out of the scriptures because this is what the scriptures say, that we're going to get a body fashioned like his glorious body. So that's what we got coming. And that's what the earth says, oh, that it would be today, because the earth is groaning, Paul says, right now. So all mankind fell to the bottom, and the earth along with it. And the evil one now rules man. Can I stop for a minute? The evolutionists hate this truth. They deny this truth. They will argue vigorously against this truth. Because what they do not and will not accept, they would like to think how much progress mankind has made when he started out in that puddle. Whatever that puddle was. So they like to think that he started down here and he's been advancing and advancing and advancing and advancing and advancing and advancing and advancing, so they can say, look at me, man. Look how far we've come. That's what they want to think. They will not accept the fact that we were here and we fell down here and we've been crawling back ever since. And we've been struggling ever since. But they don't want to accept that, because they want to think that they did it all on their own. And we admit we didn't do anything except believe that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty of our sin. And hallelujah, rose again the third day. Now remember, that's the complete gospel. Don't forget the resurrection. Okay? So, anyway, we fell, and man goes around picking up the pieces after the last destruction. Another one will come, another one will come, another one will come, another one will come. What's happening? Do you know what's happening in the Midwest right now? They've already plowed under the corn crop because they haven't had a drop of rain. We're almost heading in that same direction. And then you hear of a flood here that wiped out everything, or a hurricane that wiped out everything. You see, we're not in control of anything, no matter what technology we come up with. They still can't seem to stop that stuff. Now, thank God for some of the technology, but some of the other technology is ridiculous. So after Adam's sin, now here's Adam's part. Adam was told he would go back to dust where he came from. Was that intended in his creation? When God brought him out of that dust, is that intended in his creation? No, that was never intended. I believe it's this way, that when one cell died, another one would be put in, another one put in, another one put in, another one put in, and he would have a body that would last forever. I think that was what the original creation was. But when he said yes to Eve and no to God, that all changed. Then he said, then what happened? Here's sin's production. What happened in his own family? You ever stop to think about that now? Think about that for a minute. His own family. That's right. He had murder take place. In one generation, murder took place. Now what do you hear of? Where's it coming from? But you hear 46 last weekend, 46 people were shot, and I don't know how many, in Chicago alone, and I don't know how many of that 46 died. I don't have the figures. But I do know that it was 46. And what are we going to do if he keeps going this way? There was a black preacher that was a friend of Ross Rhodes, an evangelist, that he brought into First Baptist Church in Coatesville. And I was a brand new Christian. I was already saved. But I was so thrilled with the rally that was going on. And I'm telling you, that church was packed. I mean, absolutely packed. And this black preacher preached. And I can't tell you all that he said, but I can tell you what he said, but I can't take the time to tell you all he said. Because it has never left here and here. But he did say this: as long as there's one ghetto, and that's the word that he used, as long as there is one ghetto without Jesus Christ, you are not safe. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And how desperately they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I realized also that, wait a minute, my neighbor, see, all this brand new, listen, I'm just a brand new baby in Jesus Christ. But I realized my neighbor is in the same condition. Some of my family in the same condition. And I don't want them in that condition. I want them to know what I... See, I became the preacher of Leighton and Greenfield in the machine shop. What are you going to preach today, boy? That's what they would say to me. What are you going to preach today? Because I was witnessing to everybody, because I wanted everybody to know what I found. It was so thrilling to realize my sins were forgiven. The best night of my life was when I laid my head on the pillow, knowing I was saved for sure and I had a home in heaven. That didn't come right away. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't come out of that church when I got saved that day, happy as a lark, and skipping down the aisle and shaking the preacher's hand. I was so under the conviction of sin, I was miserable. But praise God, I found a pamphlet for new Christians. And I started to realize this promise. I started to realize this promise. I started to realize this promise. And then God said, "You are mine, and you'll be mine forever." Now, I didn't hear voices. He just gave me the complete and total assurance that I belong to him. And it was real to me. So Adam had murder in his first generation. Polygamy came in. Now, why didn't God deal with that? He did. In Jesus Christ, Jesus taught that it was never, ever, ever the will of God. He didn't deal with it then, but he's dealing with it now. So Jesus brought in the truth that it was always intended to be monogamy. One man, one woman. By the way, we got to get that statement in our doctrinal statement. One man, one woman. We got to get that done. We really do. Because we can get into problems. A few chapters later. What?
I thought I retyped it up.
Oh. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, we got to get it done. And if I'm the holdup, we got to get it done. But can I go on? A few chapters later, in the book, we read of death. Did you ever realize the wonders of chapter 5 of Genesis? The tremendous things that those people were making? But yet Genesis 5 is live, died, live, died, live, died, live, died. Then what happens in chapter 6? The whole human race, except for one family, is destroyed by the great flood. You see, beloved, this is the condition of mankind. And 1 John tells us why. Would you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5? 1 John chapter 5. That's in the back of your Bible. Not the Gospel of John. 1 John. Okay? Toward the book of Revelation. Head in that direction. You'll find him. See, if you don't get anything else with me, you find out where the books of the Bible are. Look at verse 19. Is everybody there? I want everybody to see this. Y'all there? Okay. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in... Now it says wickedness in our King James. But beloved, what it really is saying, the whole world lieth in the evil one. Or you can call him the wicked one. The letters are arranged in a certain way that means one comes at the end of it. It's frankly a lock rule in the Greek language. When Jesus prayed, deliver us from all evil, deliver us from the evil one. That's what he's praying, teaching us to pray. Now, can I deal with amillennialism for a minute? See, this is all about premillennialism. This is all about this present earth and what God's going to do with this present earth. Now, the amillennialists say, The Jews have no future. God's done with this. And frankly, the only thing that's coming is God's going to take the believers to heaven and the unbelievers to hell. That's what's going to happen at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only one return, and that's it. It's over. But here's what they teach about Satan. Do you know where Satan's at according to the amillennialist? He is already in the bottomless pit that's described in the book of Revelation. That's what an amillennialist, the average amillennialist teach. I can't speak for everyone, but that is the school of no millennium, no kingdom. That's what they say. All this evil is just because of what's still inside us. You believe that? John doesn't believe it. He says, the world that we're living in is under the domination of the evil one. Now, thinking back to Romans chapter 8 again, the earth itself knows its condition. It knows that it's under the curse of sin. And it's groaning to be delivered. How many humans know that? Their condition. The earth even knows its destiny. Its destiny is to be recuperated. Its destiny to be rearranged. Its destiny to have the thorns and the thistles and the curse lifted. And it's going to become tremendously, tremendously changed geographically. It's going to be tremendously changed in its production of food that we read about in the book of Amos. See, it knows what's coming. And the Bible says to the human race, this is what's coming to you. Now it says to us redeemed, we're not ruling yet. What's the implication? We will, but it's just not yet. How many of you have neighbors that have no idea what's coming to them? Or frankly, they won't listen when you try to share what's coming to them. But beloved, what's coming to them is absolutely as assured as what's coming to the earth in a positive way. Your neighbor does not know. A lot of them, and the reason is this: I won't accept that I am a sinner. You see, the book of Romans teaches this, that we not only do wrong, but we are wrong. We come out of our mother's womb wrong. Isn't that what David said? My mom conceived me in sin. Not that she was frankly evil, not that she wasn't married. You know, he's not talking about illegitimacy. What's he saying? She was a sinner. I come out a sinner. I sinned because I was already a sinner. You try to tell your neighbor that. That frankly, you are a sinner that sins. They don't want that. They want another story. And the sad part about it, a lot of preachers are giving them another story. But is it going to happen? Can Mike going to use you as an illustration? If Mike, and I know it's not true, is unsaved, what's going to happen to him? If he would be unsaved, what's going to happen to him when he takes his last breath? Is what the Bible says going to happen to him? You believe that, don't you? You've been delivered. Praise God. But if you would die without the Lord Jesus Christ, what would be your destiny? You see, all this is going to take place because it's God's truth. Man is going to rule again, but it would only be the redeemed mankind. Only the saved will be a part of that. The rest, what's going to happen to them before that millennium starts, before that kingdom starts? They're going to all be destroyed. They're going to be separated. And those that aren't saved, Matthew 25, the goats, are going to go into eternal damnation. Is that true? Well, do you believe that, frankly, God's going to restore the earth? Do you believe that God's going to restore the human race, the saved human race, back to what it was before the fall of Adam? Do you believe that? You see, what I do And you don't have to do it. But I do this often. When somebody says, and you know, what does everybody greet you as? How you doing? Now you've heard me say how I respond. I'm rejoicing in Jesus and what He did for me. Oh. Now some, like the dear black man yesterday, day before yesterday, when I was picking up some groceries for Linda at a nearby store. You know, I come out and that's what he said. How you doing? And when I said what I say, he raised his arms. Hallelujah! Excuse me. Didn't want to wreck our sound system. Hallelujah! Now, you don't get that very often. But if I don't get it, you know what I say? Did anybody ever explain to you what Jesus did for you? They desperately need to know. The whole world needs to know. But don't forget this. That though our brother serving over Leon, am I right?
Sierra Leone.
I thought there was two words. But your neighbor is in just the same condition that the people that he's trying to reach over yonder. That's what you got to realize. That just because they're in America does not mean that they know their condition and how desperate their condition is. They need to hear that from somebody. Now, listen, the multitude was going to reject, but there's going to be some that are going to believe. Praise God. And by the way, you never know what's going to happen when God touches you and the effect you're going to have. My dear wife, when she got saved, she realized the Imhoff family is lost in Romanism. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And she began to pray daily. And one by one, it's amazing what God did. One by one, those Imhoff family people came to Jesus Christ. And at one service, do you know what they said? Thank you, Linda, for praying for us. See, you don't even know what your prayers might do in the salvation of your neighbors, in the salvation of your family. When I got saved, most of my family wasn't saved. God used me. And God used a couple others that found the truth, held on to the truth. All the rest walked around thinking they were Christians. And they were not Christians. You see, beloved, the earth isn't ignorant. It knows its condition and it knows its destiny. Do you know your destiny? Are you sure of your destiny? If you're not sure, why don't you pray this with me? Lord, I know I put my trust in Jesus Christ, but I don't have the assurance that the pastor's talking about. Would you bring that assurance to my heart? By the power of the Spirit of God. Would you pray that? If you don't have complete, total assurance, and yet you know you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let's bow.